Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovich.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Ah, good evening, tennis fans. Here we are. It's a bit of a late night one, this one, isn't it? But we're here to bring you the qualifiers to watch. And this one has been one we've been waiting for. The qualification matches got interrupted due to rain, so we couldn't do it yesterday. So now we're bringing it to you today. And there's some crackers in there, JG. Let me tell you, I'm excited to go through them. How are you doing anyway? You all right?
Yeah, very good, mate. Obviously, we've got the qualifiers on the men's and the women's. We're going to start with the men's. And there is some very, very good names. 16 qualifiers for each. Apologies, we're a day late with this podcast. It was planned for yesterday. Wasn't able to do it, but we will be bringing it to you today. And just looking down the list of names, I know you've seen where they are in the draw. I have looked a little bit, but I've had a bit of a frantic day. So I'm looking forward to do it on the podcast. But just looking at some of the names who have qualified, we've got Trungaletti, Gojeric, terrible pronunciation, Eubanks, Majerazak, Oscar Otte, Van der Zandslup, Donskoy, obviously someone we've had on the podcast, well done to
go
him.
Go on,
Quentin Hells, Martyra, Holger Rune, the informed man, Krezi, yeah. Molkan, Huang, Laaksonen, another podcast
go
guest.
Go on, Henry.
Karlovic and Kerr Mikkel, one of my favourites. So we've got some good players who have qualified. Where do you want to start? Who's your number one out of all of these men's qualifiers to watch? I know usually we both pick three each. I think this we're going to do it a little bit different. Maybe we're going to come up with three together for each of them.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm going to let you go first with your number one qualifier to watch.
Well, I think it's a bit different because the way that we've done some of these other qualifiers to watch was normally during the last round of qualifying, they qualified and then they had quite favorable draws or they had a not too bad draw. I had a list of players that I was going to bring up, but it looks like their draws aren't particularly great. But I still think these are qualifiers to watch. Two of them. My first one's going to be Holger Rune. And it just, unfortunately, he's been pitted against Novak Djokovic in the first round. But I think this is an exciting opportunity for this young player who's coming into this Grand Slam in really good form. And Novak Djokovic, I mean, I don't think anybody would want that as their first round match, Novak Djokovic. It's not a nice one. But I think Holger Rune, he's been in exceptional form in recent weeks. And I'm actually excited to see like when players are young, they don't have that sort of, the nerves aren't there. He might come onto court, he might play free. Remember Jack Draper in Wimbledon? They come on, they play more freely. You see them maybe even take a set off Novak Djokovic early on. I think it could be quite an exciting match, this one, just because Djokovic hasn't had any warm-up tournaments. Yeah. So, exciting, but I don't know. Where do you see Holger Rune? Do you see him troubling him or not?
Well, I'm looking down the list. I don't know if you've got anything up on the screen. I'm not on StreamYard. Something up just to support what we're talking about, because Holger Rune's in the form of his life.
I can bring it up if you want.
Yeah,
do you want me to bring up his recent stuff? Sorry to interrupt.
I think so. Yeah. Bring up whatever you want. Bring up something for Holger Rune because he deserves it. He's been winning everything, it seems. I know he lost in Kitzbühel, I believe, to Reinderneck. It was a very close one.
You've got
since then, he's just been on the clay courts, smashing it up and playing so well. He's then transformed onto the hard courts. Wasn't sure if he could do it. Beat Lacko, Kruger, and then Mats Morang. And Mats Morang's been playing very well. So, yeah. Holger Rune, as much as people are saying this is really unlucky for him to be playing against Djokovic, if you're going to beat him, it's going to be first round or second round. I think that's when he can be sometimes most frail and beatable. Yeah. It's going to be a massive ask. I don't think he's going to really trouble him. But if he is able to beat Novak Djokovic first round, he's going to go down as a legend. It'll have some crazy status. And it, what I look at it is a great opportunity for Holger Rune to announce himself on the world stage. I think he'll be very happy if he's able to even take a set. I think Djokovic is just that much better than everyone right now. But who's to say he can't do something special? I think Djokovic is going to be a bit wary, to say the least. He obviously played Jack Draper at Wimbledon, dropped a set there.
Massetti,
a few of these young guys, he's been dropping them. I don't think it's good to get into a habit of doing that. Because you never know. What about if a player in his two sets to love up and then he has an absolute blinding third?
Exactly.
Before Djokovic has a second to respond, he's found himself lost. He's lost the match. That's the worst thing to possibly happen. I don't think it is possible. But Holger Rune, I just wanted to highlight him. I'm glad you picked him first because he was one of my three as well on the men's who I think who's a big threat. But obviously this was before we knew that he was going to be facing Djokovic and things are a bit different now.
Well, he's come off the back of two tournament wins and he's come straight into this US Open qualification. Even though the wins were on clay courts, he has come off the back of those and he's done well on the hard courts. And like you were saying, Lucas Lacco, no schmuck on the hard courts. Mitchell Krueger as well. That's probably more notable because he is an American player playing at home and he did away with him handily, 6-4, 6-1.
Yeah.
Meringue, people might look at this and think, Meringue's not all that. You'd be shocked because Meringue, I didn't think he was going to be doing that well. He beat Chris O'Connell very convincingly, and that was one person I had probably as one of my favourites to be into the main draw. He breadsticked him in the second set, so sorry to see Chris go out, obviously 126 in the world. Meringue only 239 in the world. But
Meringue's hot and cold, though. He's a good player in spells. He can have a great match and a terrible match. But Holger Rune, a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be breaking the top 100 very soon.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe at the US Open, but I think it's going to be a big ask because he's going to have to get through, as we've just said, Novak Djokovic. I just want to give a shout out to people in the chat. We've got Kathy here, one of our patrons. How are we doing, Kathy?
Hey, how are you doing?
And she's asking, are we doing just men qualifiers? No, we'll be touching on the women's after this. We've obviously got some Raducanu hype, as always. But our second one, seeing as you went for the first, I'm going to go for the second.
Go for
it. And I think it picks itself. If this wasn't your number one, then it's got to be number two, and that's Ivo Karlovic.
Well, exactly, it was.
The serving beast. I don't know how to really explain him. One of the oldest men on tour still playing.
42.
How old? 42, is he?
Yeah, 42 years old. Yeah. 42 years young, let's call him. Ivo.
And it's going to be a bit of a sad one as well because it's his last tournament.
Well, what a send-off and what a first match that he has in this tournament. He's playing Andrei Rublev in the first round. Not the type of person you want to be pitted up against, is it, if you're Andrei Rublev? Massive server and somebody, if it's his last tournament, he's going to be giving it his all. As we've seen in the qualification, he's got through Milojevic from Serbia, Delian and Sugita. So a few tie breaks in there to be expected. But still, he's still winning. And that was after a three-match losing streak. Lost to Marchenko, Thompson, and Bublik before that. So, come on, Ivo. We want to see one last big push from you. Can you test Andrei Rublev? What do you reckon?
Well, before we get into that, I just want to speak about Karlovic. He's had a great career. He really has. I think he peaked at, is it 14 in the world? Is that his best?
Yes.
I'll let you 14. Clarify. I'm just looking here. And then... Well, he's made history this year, beating, Pablo Andujar. And he was the oldest player to win an ATP Tour match in 25 years after beating him at Delray Beach. So he's still doing it at his age. And right now against Rublev is going to be quaking. The reason being, he can't deal with big servers. We've seen recently, he lost to John Isner twice, I believe. He lost to Struff recently, didn't he? Another big server, and he hates playing against Zverev. He doesn't do well against big servers. We've seen it on the podcast the other day when we covered it in Cincinnati. He just doesn't deal with it well. And if you're worried about big servers, Karlovic is the man you should be worried about more than most because he's got the experience with it where he's consistent. He's not going to be done by the occasion. It's his last tournament. He's going to be going full guns blazing. And I'm not sure what the odds are going to be for it, but I think the money's got to be Karlovic to take at least a set. You probably get good money on it, and I can't see how he doesn't take a set, personally. Rublev's not going to whitewash him. People could even say Karlovic beats him.
That's a tall order. I think it's a bit disrespectful onto Andrei Rublev, if I'm honest. This is the guy who just...
Disrespectful to Andrei Rublev. It's disrespectful to Karlovic. What's Rublev done in a Grand Slam for you to be considering him as a big threat?
No, but I mean, this is first round, and this is Rublev who just made it to the final of a Masters. I think we got to give him a little bit more credit than that. I think that we could have some close sets. There's just part of me that thinks that he just doesn't have the ground game to trouble Andrei Rublev. The forehand's going to be too powerful. Can he get it away from Rublev's forehand is the question. If he can't, it's going to be a short day at the office, I think, for Karlovic. I'm hoping he can test Rublev a little bit, and I'm hoping we see a bigger last hurrah from him, but I'm not so sure. But I'm just excited for the spectacle of seeing Ivo Karlovic there in the US Open once more and playing, well, one of the top 10 players in the world.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting because Rublev, sometimes a bit of a slow starter. Karlovic might catch him cold. You never know. Not catch a cold.
It's crazy. Looking at the stats here for Karlovic over the years, was playing in 1998. It goes back so far. It's so more than 1999, to be fair. And just looking, all the slams, he's not had an amazing career. He has for longevity purposes, but he's not come close in any of them.
Quarterfinals.
The best ever were quarterfinal at Wimbledon in 2009. Aside from that, it's a few second rounds, third rounds. Was doing quite well, really, sort of after 2014. He had a nice little spell there of a few rounds. 2021, not started well at all. Wasn't at in Australia, wasn't at Roland Garros, and didn't even get out of the first qualifying round. But the US Open, one big final hurrah from him. He's qualified. He's going to be in round one against Rublev. Can he do it? I really hope so.
Let's sing his praises a bit.
It's better than the clay one, than Roland Garros. So he's got, at least he's doing it at the US Open. He's got more of a chance.
Let's try and sing his praises a little bit while we're here, because he does have some very good stats on his record, and some that probably some of you aren't aware of. He has one win over Roger Federer. Not many people can say that, can they? Four wins over Leighton Hewitt, only to two losses. I mean, Roger Federer beat him 13 times, so we're not going to go too crazy on that one. Andy Roddick he beat as well, lost five times though. Marat Safin, he had a winning record against him, two wins, one loss. And look who he has a winning record against, Novak Djokovic. Two wins to one loss against Novak Djokovic. Can you believe it? Big Evo. Yeah. So he has a winning record against the current world number one at the moment. So he's got to have some respect thrown on his name. Obviously there is. Look at that. The sport in the 70s. Gotta love Evo. I hope that it all goes well for him. He's had a fantastic career, and he's definitely a name no one will forget. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to the third one on the men's before we touch on the women's. I'm torn on this last one, so I'm going to let you help me decide. And I think it's going to be dependent on the draw. So maybe we can get the draw up and we'll have a look where some of these qualifiers are placed. Is there any fascinating players who have been drawn? The names I'll want to shortlist, I'll give you now, is Maxim Krejci in America. Okay. I think he can be dangerous.
That's nice.
Van der Zandslot. I'm not going to pick Donskoy. Sorry, Donskoy. And the last one was...
Molcan. Yeah, I think it's
so called... it's them three. And does any of them have any fascinating draws we can talk about?
Well, I think the last one on the list, I know that was the one that you sort of said to me when we were sort of preparing. You said Molcan, top of the list for you. Yeah. And
well, he would have been one of my three as well. And not many people would have said it. The reason being, I saw what he did at the start of the year. I believe it might have been on the clay courts against Djokovic before Roland Garros. Did he play him in a final? And I know he lost.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a great tournament, knocking out some top players. And you can see there, he's going to be pitted up against another qualifier. You'd fancy him to beat at Semica, if I'm honest. I know I like Kem as well, but I think Molkan's got a little bit more quality. And then to play either of the Americans, Isner or Nakashima. Who's to say Molkan can't be one of them bracket killers this tournament? I think he's awesome. I think he's class, and he's on a bit of a winning streak as well. Let me see if I can bring it up, unless you've got it there.
I can bring it up, mate. Don't worry about that. No worries. Oh, yeah. So let me just come out of this screen. I'll bring up another one just for you guys. Molkan, here we go.
He's 138 in the world, and some of the wins we've seen recently, he beat Kola straight sets, Kopyans, Elias. I didn't think it was the toughest of qualifications him.
But prior
to that, beating Mahak in straight sets, I think he's an awesome player.
Well, look at the scores.
In Czech Republic, it's just crazy. It's just he's been whitewashing people.
He's not a challenger player anymore, obviously. No, based on the semi-finals and the finals in the challenger, he's dropped two games in two matches, which is ridiculous. How many breadsticks has he dished out there? How many baked goods has he dished out in that tournament? One, two, three, four, five, six baked goods in five matches. That's good going. And I think, well, Kamil Madrazak, no surprise, Camille's in the draw as well. He's another good player as well. I'm not sure if he's on the same level as Molkan, though. Molkan's been sort of a surprise package this year. He's come out of nowhere.
He's flying. He's going to be a top 100 player soon as well. Add him to the list. I'm a big fan of him, as you can see. Maybe not someone people talk about a lot, but I had to bring him up on this podcast because he was one of my three. And I want to sing his praises because I think he's quality. Just looking back to that Belgrade tournament, well, the Djokovic Open, some of us was calling it. He beat Del Bonis in that tournament, and Del Bonis wasn't losing to anyone on clay. He beat Verdasco, Christian, Medjovic.
Look at the other scores since then,
he's beaten Delian, Mega.
Look at the scores again, though. In that tournament. He dished up three bagels in two matches in a row. It's crazy.
I know you get a lot of encouragement from that, but players like that worry me slightly.
I know you've always been like that, haven't you?
They worry me, these players who win quick, because I feel they've only got that trick up their sleeve, and if they don't win quick, they lose. So if anyone can sort of trouble them a little bit and get them to the business end and really put a spanner in the works and be very resilient, getting shots back what they necessarily shouldn't be getting back, a lot of the times the cards just sort of fall. And that's a big worry for Molkan. I want to see a bit more endurance and grit and determination from him. But looking at his last match, maybe we did see some of that against Elias. You can see there, 8-6 in a tie break. He fought back. He really did. Yeah. After losing that second set, many times his head drops.
Face match points as well in the tiebreak. Two match points saved and then took his only match point in the final set tiebreak. So showed resolve.
Yeah, we've got Almino here saying this is hardcore. He loses to Isner or Nakashima second round easy. quite possibly, but I just want to highlight it now because I think I wouldn't be massively shocked if Nakashima beats Isner and Molkan beats Nakashima. There's just a bit of an outsider, a bit of a wild one. Just watch out for our man, Alex Molkan. So our three qualifiers we spoke about, for people just joining us, to clarify, were number one, you had
Holger Rune.
Number two,
Ivo Karlovic.
Ivo Karlovic. And three was Molkan.
Okay, but the first two are playing top 10 players, it's really difficult, but they're just players that you should watch. These are just players. I'm not going to say they're going far. I'm just saying you should watch these players. Ivo, last tournament ever, deserves to be watched against Rublev. And Holger Rune, he's just in hot form and he's one of the best youngsters on tour playing against Novak Djokovic, who hasn't done any warm-up tournaments. So could be exciting. And then obviously Molkan's just been having a bit of a stormer in the past few months. So who knows? He could be He could be the next big. He could be the next Karatsev. Who knows?
I just want to give a notable mention to Laxinen. I think he's got this wrong. Sure. And Krejci as well. Laxinen and Krejci are two, which will feel a bit hard done by not being in there, but we could only pick three.
Laxinen for sure.
They both can be very dangerous. I think Krejci, in America, mate, he seems to just always be in these qualifications, and he just always finds a way to qualify. I think maybe in the third round of Wimbledon, but he just I like him. I love his energy, and he can be super dangerous too.
Yeah, I totally agree. Maybe we should move on to the women's side so that we can have a look at that. I'm just going to bring up the draw on my side so I can have a little look.
Well, I think there's no secrets really in where we're going to start.
Exactly.
I'll ask you the question, but who is your number one qualifier to watch? I feel like we're going to have the same one here.
Yes, we are definitely going to have the same one. And I don't know if you're as excited as I have been in the past few days, but I know we've been texting each other like mad back and forth. As the results have been coming in, sort of trying to catch as much as possible. It is Emma Raducanu. Look how she's qualified. Beating Bibiane Schoofs, one of the podcast guests, friend of the podcast. Sad to see Schoofs out, but Raducanu made short work of her. Then Bulkvadze, 6-3, 7-5. And then Sharif. Yeah. Who I thought this was going to be a real tough matchup for, a big, hard-hitting.
Well, definitely. She's one of the highest seed qualifiers. She's the fourth seeded qualifier. And just on that, before we do all the Raducanu hype, I just want to mention all of the names who did qualify, like we did for the men's.
Sure.
We've got Anna Cunha, Smilova, Parizas Diaz, Raducanu, of course, Buxa, Marino, Ruse, Katie Bolter, Gramatakopoulou, Sharma, Pliskova, Harriet Dart, Danilovic, Galfi, Mazarova, Loeb. Or Loeb.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I'm always a bit...
it's a bit of a mouthful, them names. But there is some what I do like the look of. I really do. And take it away, Emma Raducanu, 150 in the world, 18 years old. We watched her in the final, unfortunately lose to Clara Towson. She played amazing, though, that whole tournament. And the way she's handled the qualifiers here have been impressive. You can see there two breadsticks she served up in two of the matches. I'm just liking the look of her. She's dangerous as hell. She's going to be another one. I'm pretty confident in the top 100 very soon. If she can keep playing the way she's doing, how far can she go at the US Open, though? Because her draw is... It couldn't really get much tougher. I looked through some of the other qualifiers.
The worst.
I know you say that, but there's two others I would say what would be harder.
Go on then.
I can't remember them now, but I have to bring them up.
For me, it's the worst draw a qualifier could get. Krejcikova is possible.
Oh, of course, Krejcikova. That's the one. That's one of them. And I'll tell you the other one now.
I'd say Jen Brady is probably worse. We're in America. That's the one.
Krejcikova.
I think it is. I think Jen Brady is a harder hitter. I think Krejcikova, she's just a more of a percentage tennis player. I think
Iga Swiatek was my other one as well. Two would have been the toughest ones.
But I still think Brady. For me, Brady would have been the nightmare pick. And I know we went through it and we said those sort of three in that section, wasn't it?
Svitolina.
That's a mean one. Yeah. Svitolina. The thing that bugs me the most out of all of it is she beat Sharif in the final round of qualifying. What do you get as your reward for beating Sharif in the final round of qualifying? You get to play Jen Brady. What does Sharif get? She gets a lucky loser spot to play Kalinina. What's going on? Who's making these draws? Because the lucky loser should not go through against somebody easier than somebody who's actually just beaten that person. I don't know. Maybe it's just me saying that. But
no, it's not just you. It winds me up as well. I think it's terrible. It's just not fair. Raducanu has been penalised for beating Sharif. Should have been better off losing that match.
Literally.
I don't know what else. It's just the way it goes sometimes, sport, unfortunately. I don't think you can really blame anyone. It just happens, these things. Let's just hope Emma has enough to beat Brady. I know we've got something you can be a bit thankful for. And that's Jen Brady's a bit injured. I know it's not good. You never wish injury on anyone, but it may give Raducanu a chance to beat Brady if she is a little bit injured.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, we're not wishing injury upon anyone. No, and I really hope that she's not injured, because I really want to see that match, if she isn't injured, is the match of the first round for me out of all of the other women's matches. I know that you're going to say I'm biased, and because
well,
I just want to.
You definitely are. I think you're getting carried away big time. I love Raducanu, but she doesn't even make my top five matches in the first round.
For me,
I think you definitely are getting wrapped up in the hype more than ever. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong, but there's some great first round matches on the women's. She maybe pips it in at number five.
We're talking about, well, you got to remember here, Jen Brady is a Grand Slam hard court finalist.
Yeah, start of the
year. This is how serious this is. This is how good Jen Brady is. And Raducanu, she just made it to the fourth round of Wimbledon, and now she's just demolished the qualification by the looks of it. It's so encouraging. And the fact she got to the final of a challenger, lost to Towson, she beat some good players on the way there. It just all seems to be going in the right direction. And I'm not wishing anything but the best for her. I don't want to put any jinx on her. I just want her to do well. And I just want this match against Jen Brady to just be a real, I don't know, I just want it to be a real exciting matchup. I don't want there to be injuries. I just want both of them to go out there, play their best
tennis
match.
Player on the day. I hope they win.
Exactly,
I really
right. Yeah.
But what I want to ask you is, who's going to be playing the better tennis? Who's going to win that match?
Well, after watching some of Raducanu, well, we covered Raducanu Towson, and that's some of the best tennis that we've covered in a while. I'm not going to lie, that was actually a really exciting match and high level. I'm actually excited to see how Clara Towson does as well.
Yeah.
I think that she really could do well in this tournament if she gets. I think she gets Burrell in the first round.
Yeah, that's right. The battle of Clara's, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. So I think that could be exciting.
And they'll probably get the reward. Whoever wins the Clara battle will get Barty, you reckon?
Oof.
Second round.
Mean. Great reward.
Well, could Towson knock out Burrell, then Barty?
I don't know. I think it's just
it's a big
little,
ask, but the women's is certainly open.
It's a little bit of like a too much too soon. When you talk about Barty, like it's like the next level, isn't it? When you go to Ash Barty. I just want to go
an inclination, though, before we go on to the next one.
I just want to go to the draw. Sorry.
Okay, going to the draw. Are you actually going to be putting Raducanu through tomorrow against Brady when we do the bracket preview?
How dare you try and get a sneak peek on what my bracket
says? I'm just interested to know. Are you gonna do that?
I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that now. How dare you?
Are you trying... Give me a little inclination whether you're going to do it or not.
Might be.
Because when I saw it,
You thought what?
I thought you was always going to be going around Raducanu.
I don't think it mattered who she was playing. It could have been playing like...
It could have been Osaka. I think it would have been Raducanu for you.
Oh, if we get that match up, God, let me tell you. But this is what I mean. Let's just have a quick look. I know this just get carried away, blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting to see who is in Raducanu's...
You're definitely getting carried away.
Well, I just like to see it. That's all. I just want to see if she does beat Jen Brady, who is... Well, arguably the best person there if she was on her form. You've got, Cerebres Tormo in there. Yeah. Hayley Baptiste is still a really good player. Yep. Zhang, Shea Su Wei in there. Mukova. It's not a nice section, is it? It's a pretty horrible section. And then you go to the top and you got Ash Barty there. So you could only probably get as far as 1, 2, 3, 4.
Could we see Towson versus Raducanu?
Well, again,
in the
fourth round. In the
fourth round. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
I'd like
and
that.
I think we've done enough of Raducanu for sure.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our second pick. I know you picked the first one, so maybe it's only fair if I pick the second. Let's have a little look down my list. And out of them names, I think you've got to only go one place, and that is going to be the number one seed qualifier, Anna Cunha. And I was talking to you about it. I find it ludicrous. She's still a qualifier who can't get into these tournaments. It just doesn't seem fair. She batters everyone in the qualifiers. She's a lot better than a qualifier type player. I know she's 87 in the world, and because of her injury, she's sort of coming back and getting back into form. She's been losing some matches I expect her to win when it matters. And because of that, she's just always going to be in this same cycle of having to go through the qualifiers. She's a top 50 player, no doubt. It's a matter of time until she gets there, but she just needs to get the matches under her belt so she can move up and get a better seed and get into these tournaments through the main draw rather than having to go through qualifiers. But she went through the qualifiers and just demolished everyone. Fetikal, Grabner, Vogel. I'm looking at it. It was just an obliteration, if I'm honest. She's been in okay form. There's been some a bit suspect. I think losing to Dietchenko, I thought that was a bit of a shock. Didn't see that. Whereabouts was that? That was a challenger in
that
Chicago.
That was the Raducanu one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was the Raducanu one. Danielle Collins, I can totally understand that. She was in hot form. Was that in the final? No, it was in the semi-final. I think Danielle Collins went on to win that event in San Jose. But aside from that, she's been winning a lot of matches. She really has. She's had a very good return to injury. Not, I think probably hard courts, maybe one of her stronger surfaces as well. She can play on clay though. Probably what's one of her biggest results we've seen so far? I think beating Osorio Serrano on clay, that tournament in Belgrade, I thought was amazing from her. She beat Putin Saver, Podoroska, Osorio Serrano, and Serrano was winning everything at that stage and then lost in the final to Badoza through injury. But that little spell she had at the start, amazing. How far can she go here? Well, who's she going to be playing, first of all?
Well, exactly right, mate. It's very exciting just to see Cunha in good form going into a tournament, and especially as she had that injury as well. I was a bit worried. Obviously, she dropped out to Badoza in that one. It's not the easiest first round draw. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Leila Fernandez is somebody who's on the come up. Leila Fernandez, a dangerous young Canadian player. So that one, I wouldn't say it's written in stone that Cunha gets out of that match, to be honest, unscathed, because Fernandez is going to be, I think she's looking good at the moment. She's one of those players that I always like shy towards as well. I know it's a bit bad to just, it's not favoritism, but it's just when you've got when you've got the youth of tennis coming through, I'm really trying to push for it. She had some results recently. Cincinnati qualification, she beat Begu. She beat Ruse quite convincingly. She bageled Ruse 2 and love. Went out to risk in the first round, though. She got beaten by Krejcikova in the Olympics. Beat Yastremska, though. That's what I mean. It's a little bit up and down, though, her form. She can play well.
About Leila Fernandez?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not been that encouraged by her this year. She's a quality player. I think she's going to still need some development. It's not been a breakthrough year for her at all. I think Anna Cunha could well beat her. And if she does, she could be playing Putin Saver, someone she's obliterated in the earlier on in this year. So you never know. Anna Cunha, she's the number one seed. She's got blitz through qualifying. And she could go for a few rounds here until she potentially faces off with a Naomi Osaka. So she could have a great tournament, Cunha, and one to watch, no doubt about it.
She definitely is. It was a real. The first two sort of picked themselves for our ones to watch.
Yeah.
The next one, I don't know. I'm sort of torn a little bit on my next one. I don't know if you've got a different person to me.
Well, I feel like we may be picking the same person, but I'll give you a few options who you can pick from. And I think I know who you're going to go for. I think it's got the one you're edging towards, Paris as Diaz. Got to have a mention. Yeah. I think Marino is another one. And maybe either Katie Bolter or Ashley Sharma.
Katie Bolter, mate. I think that's the name.
Well, you're going to pick her over Paris Diaz? I would go more for Paris Diaz.
I'm more for. I just like the fact that the people that she's beaten in the qualifying as well. She beat Dietchenko. She beat Krukova as well. Two decent players in the qualifying. So she hasn't had it easy. She took Sabalenka to 3 sets, remember, recently. She's been playing well, didn't she? She took Osaka close as well, didn't she? Not so long ago. So she's a strange one, really, when you think about Katie Bolter, because on her day, She can actually mix it with the best in the world.
So wait, is it official? She's going to be our third pick?
No, it's not official. Okay. I mean, I said to you before the tournament, I like Parizas Diaz. I don't know why.
Because we need to agree on our third. We've had our three for the men. The first two picked itself. The third one for the women's is going to be tough. I'll let you pick who you want to pick. I've just said some names who I like.
Well, for me, I'm going to go with Nuria. This is a bit weird because she's 30 years old. She's just come into some really good form this year. It's Nuria Paria. I'll say it right. Parizas Diaz is her name. And I've just been excited. I mean, I've sent you some of her form like a couple of weeks ago, and I just think what she's been doing. She's qualified so easily as well, as you can see here. And she's, if we go back down some of her form, obviously she lost to Anisimova there in that match, but Anisimova, really good player on the hard courts. You see there, she won a tournament, an ITF. I know people will say it's only an ITF. Raducanu sort of dropped out of that match, unfortunately. Who knows how that match might have gone. She beat Min, Loeb, Kawa, and Minnen in that tournament. But let's go back down to some more of her form, though, because there has been even more form from Parizas Diaz. Let's look down. Look how much green there is on her form. That's what I'm sort of alluding to here.
The thing what people are going to say is she's not playing the highest caliber of players. She's 30 years old, like you said, a bit of a late bloomer, a bit of an Aslan Karatsev-style player who's come into form later on. And she's at her career high right now of 94 in the world. She's never reached that high. How far can she go? Well, let's see, because she's more of a clay courter, let's be honest. I prefer on the clay from what I've seen. But she's not done too bad here at the US Open. It's the first time she's ever got into a Grand Slam as well. Further she's ever got before all this year, and that's the third qualifier. If I'm honest, I can't really say I know too much about her up until recently. She's a name who sort of just sprung on the scenes. I'm not sure if she was even playing much on the tour. I can't find too much either. So it just seems like she's been here. Maybe she had an injury. She was out for a few years. It looked like a whole career of ITFs, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But recently come back and playing amazing.
Yeah. Definitely. She's been on the tour since 2011, by the looks of it, based upon her since she's been getting into the finals. And they've all been there, like you were saying, all ITFs, no WTA events. But she does have 22 ITF titles to her name. She has 5 ITF titles to her name this year. And her last 8 finals she has won. And that is very impressive, really. And not the worst people that she's playing in these finals. She's played Anna Friedsam, Kaglia Bukakci, and Greet Minnen as well. There's just a few of the names that she has beaten. I just think it's exciting. When these players are slightly older and they suddenly have a run of form, something just clicked. Maybe there's a change of coach. Maybe there's just something else. Maybe there's something that she's really trying to win for. That's all. Yeah. I think
she's going to be hungry as well. Really hungry. This is her first Grand Slam. She's going to be fighting for every ball. Her first match, Kuracheva, it's actually winnable as well. She can.
Yeah.
She could win that match. Probably will be rewarded with a match up against Badosa. I'm not sure if she beats that more, the younger Spaniard who's more in form and a little bit better of a player.
Yeah.
But I think she'll be absolutely thrilled if she can win her first match. And one to watch, maybe not this tournament because she's not done amazing things. I know you're saying these ITFs, but until we see her on the WTA tour pulling off more consistent results, then we can talk about her as one who can progress into a slam. I don't see her. She'll be lucky to win a match, but just one to keep your eye on. A player we talk about every now and then. We like her on the clay court. She did win a title this year. Let me see where it was. I forget now. It's in Sweden on the clay courts, beating Olga Govoska in the final. So she's having the time of her life, 90-odd in the world. I reckon she could be knocking on the door, top 50 as well, because she's that good. And in the clay court swing, she's a bit of a Casper Ruud. I can see her cleaning up a few. Because there's not loads of really amazing clay court players on the women's side, if I'm honest. Of course, there's a lot of them, but there's definitely an opportunity for someone like this, the Aslan Karatsev of the women, maybe.
I think she can mix it on hard and clay, if I'm honest. I think that her last tournament she won in Landisville, which was one of those ITF like 100s, so like quite a substantial win. I think that was her biggest one, like obviously the biggest prize money. So that was really good. It was a really tight match against Griekman and two tie breaks that she won, 9-7 in the final set tie break. So exciting, though. I'm excited for her. This is her first Grand Slam. Come on, Nuria. Let's go. Gracheva's a tough matchup, though. She's just beaten Kostyuk recently. Yep. Bogdan's a Danzig. So it's not an easy matchup. But
I feel like Bolt is a bit hard done by. She could easily have been number three. I know you were talking about. She ran Sabalenka close, didn't she? At Wimbledon. Yes. I believe she took a set off her.
Yes.
And was playing really well. Just to address the chat, we've got tennis fans saying, when are you guys making the picks for the draws? We will be doing that, where we go through match by match, doing all of the picks tomorrow. So we're doing the men's and women's tomorrow. So make sure to join us for that. I think we're going to wrap this one up here. There are qualifiers to watch on the men's and women's. I think if we have to pick one from each, I'll let you go first.
So I'm picking Jake Paul from the men's. No, I'm joking. Yeah, well, the men's, I don't know, the men's is tough. The women's, I'm going Raducanu all day long. You know that you can't change my mind from that one. The men's is tougher because I think it's just, I don't know, Molcan's probably the one who has the best chance to go through. So, but I would say watch Holger Rune. I think that one will be probably the most entertaining of all the matchups. And definitely just, it's Karlovic. Could be Karlovic's last match every time he plays. So go and watch that one as well.
Well, I'm going to pick mine. I'm going to be Ivo Karlovic on the men's one. I think he can even beat Rublev. I'm going to put it out there. And Anna Cunha, I like his draw. I like her, sorry. I like her draw. She's not playing on the men's. She has a real shot as well. So they're going to be my two picks. I know you've gone Raducanu. I'll let you have that hype. I think it's going to be a big ask getting through Brady, even though she's injured. But let's see. We've got obviously US Open action coming thick and fast. We'll hopefully do some watch-alongs when we can. But for now, we'll love you and leave you and talk to you very soon.
Yeah. Before we go, Jake Paul or Tyron Woodley, JG? Come on, give us your pick.
Well, I'm quite excited for that match. I think we've got it. What's it? It's not tonight, is it? It's the
tomorrow
next day.
Night, yeah.
I think Woodley beats him. I think he's in his head slightly, so...
It seems a little bit like he's not playing up to the games, is he? He's like all of the silliness.
I was
silliness.
Quite impressed with the sit down thing in the way Woodley handled it. So I'm actually, maybe I was Jake before, but Woodley now.
The antics are not getting to him, are they? No. He's not biting. Even if he brought up his mum and stuff, he didn't bite to that either. I think he's waiting for the big power punch during the fight. That's where he's going to do his talking. It's going to be exciting. Look forward to it.
See you guys soon. Make sure to like and subscribe.